Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to continue our study through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we are up to section 531 of the Catechism. And at 531, we begin to look at the importance of the hidden life of Jesus. Now, what does it mean to look at the hidden life of Jesus in the context that we're about to look at here? Well, the simplest answer is that there's a lot about an individual's life that we don't know about, that is unknown as far as we have any knowledge of. And that's the point of Scripture when it tells us in John's Gospel that there are many other deeds that Jesus did and said and miracles that he performed and so on and so forth. But it would be impossible for that to be written down and recorded because there would be too many books. It would take more books than would be possible to hold in a Holy Bible. But it would be necessary for us to know if there was no parts of our lives that weren't hidden from the views of others. If there weren't things about us that in our times of being all alone and all by ourselves, that needed to reflect his holiness in private. And that is where we begin today. But before we get there, before we examine this hidden life of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most merciful Jesus, you began your office of Savior by shedding your blood and assuming for us that name which is above all names at your circumcision. I thank you for such early proofs of your infinite love, and I venerate your sacred name in union with the deep respect of that angel who first announced it to the earth in your Annunciation. I also unite my affections to the sentiments of tender devotion that your adorable name has in every age enkindled in the hearts of all of your servants. O Lord Jesus, you have said, as recorded in John 16:23, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Therefore, I earnestly ask the Father in your name for an increase of hope, faith, and love, the grace to lead a good life and die a happy death. O Lord Jesus, your name, Jesus, means God saves. Therefore, be my Savior, and through your adorable name, which is the joy of heaven, the terror of hell, and the consolation of the afflicted, and also the very solid ground upon which I base my unlimited confidence in you, I ask that you grant me every petition that I make of you today in this prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we look at the hidden life of Jesus. And it's a very interesting period of time if we really consider it. I've talked about it in little parts in the last couple days, because this hidden life of Jesus is what's important for us to focus upon. Because it's within these hidden parts, these parts that we don't know. Jesus has a favorite color. Jesus has a favorite food. Jesus has a certain pattern of going about his day-to-day business. Jesus has a job. Jesus goes to school. He learns what he needs to learn to be able to read and write. He also learns what he needs to learn in order to be a carpenter, in the same sense that his father was a carpenter. He had to deal with customers. He had to deal with clients. He had to do manual labor. These are things that are all part of his hidden life. And this is what 531 of the Catechism begins to unfold for us. Because it tells us that during the greater part of his life, Jesus shared the condition of a vast majority of human beings, a daily life spent without evident greatness, a life of manual labor. He got up, he went to work, he punched a time clock. He had bosses. I mean, his father was probably a boss. And if he was a carpenter on a big project, he probably worked under a boss at that particular thing. So he was somebody like you and I. And he got paid. Same way you and I got paid. And this is something that we need to note. Jesus shared the condition of a vast majority of human beings. We don't know all these conditions because we don't know what his sleep patterns were. If he ever missed a night's sleep because of some tragedy that was going on in the world at that time, or if he stayed up late to spend time with his father and his mother. We don't know all this. We know, as the Catechism tells us in 531, that his religious life was that of a Jew obedient to the law of God and life in that community. From this whole period, it is revealed that Jesus was obedient to his parents and that he increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Because this is the record that's recorded for us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 51 through 52. Other than this simple description of his life, we don't know what kind of child he was, other than him being obedient. We don't know if he had somebody that didn't like him at school. We don't know who his friends were in Nazareth as he was growing up. Possibly these friends are the ones that turn on him and try to stone him when he's in his ministry, because they're like, we know this guy. This is the son of Mary. And he's the one that we grew up with. Why doesn't he do great things here? And then they tried to stone him and throw him from a mountain nearby their little bitty town. But this just shows us that our lives, lives that aren't necessarily evidently great or out of the ordinary, links us to Christ. We may not like going to work. We may not like the jobs that we do. But those are the things that unite us to Christ. So these are moments when we are sitting around maybe doing dishes or laundry or taking a bath, that we can know that Jesus himself also did. Jesus had chores where he probably had to take out some kind of trash in his house or sweep his floors or something that goes into who he was. We don't know how he entertained himself in the culture of first century Judaism. Was he a stargazer? Did he read? Did he write? How literate was he? We're not exactly sure. We do know he increased in wisdom, but there's no way of knowing if he was an avid reader who liked to read the latest plays, if he knew Greek or only Hebrew, Aramaic. There's a lot of hypotheses about it, but we don't know the fullest extent of these things. 532 continues these thoughts by telling us that Jesus' obedience to his mother and legal father fulfills the fourth commandment perfectly and was the temporal image of his filial obedience to his father in heaven. The everyday obedience of Jesus to Joseph and Mary both announced and anticipated his obedience that Holy Thursday when he spoke, "Not my will, but your will be done." The obedience of Christ in the daily routine of his hidden life was already inaugurating his work of restoring what the obedience of disobedience of Adam had destroyed. And it gives us a model to follow in our own lives. Jesus was obedient. He didn't try to show himself as something spectacular. He was a child of Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. It's a hidden life that in 5:33 we are told that allows everyone to enter into fellowship with Jesus by the most ordinary events of daily life. Think about that. When you're doing your dishes, you can see yourself being part of the life of Jesus that's hidden in Nazareth. When you're writing a paper, you can think about how Jesus might have had to have done some kind of homework as a child, and therefore you're entering into that moment of Jesus' life. When you're laying down to sleep, or when you're cleaning your clothes, or doing tasks at your 9-to-5 job, you can see that as you participating with Jesus in his daily tasks, in his daily deeds. And if you go out and have fun with friends, you can think about how Jesus, during his hidden time, unknown to the world, would have fun. Maybe he didn't play cards. Maybe he played some kind of game with dreidels. We're not exactly sure, or at least I'm not. There's a lot we know about that time period, but we don't know a lot beyond what the upper classes were like and some basic conditions about the local workers. But this hidden life of Jesus opens up for us a gateway into the life of Christ so that we too can participate with Christ in these moments. The hidden daily life of Christ speaks to us from the home of Nazareth as the school where we begin to understand the very life of Jesus. It is a school, a place of education, whereby which we experience the gospel, first as a lesson of silence. I think a lot of people are missing silence. If you remember having a conversation with somebody online in a chat room somewhere, that there's a problem with people always wanting to be doing something. And I think what this person needed to do was just get quiet before the Blessed Sacrament. And I told this person that because they had asked the question about Mary and Martha. One was busy doing things and the other was sitting at Jesus' feet. And I pointed out to that person, it's not so much that the doing of deeds is not important. It is the attitude at which we go about our lives. Do we see ourselves just needing to do dishes and endless tasks? That makes us a slave instead of free. We're not servants in love with our master. We're just doing things like not stealing, not killing, not bearing false witness. Or we're busy going to soccer practice, or we're busy being part of the chess club, or we're busy being a cheerleader, or we're busy being a football star, or we're busy going to baseball season, or we're busy being on the track team, or we're busy doing 5 billion other things, except being quiet before him and knowing that he is God and letting him fill us. This is what the lessons of silence teach us. There's a great esteem for silence. It's a thing that's very admirable and indispensable in the condition of the mind that allows us to revive. Because we have to be silent when we take a nap. There's also a lesson about family life, where Nazareth can teach us what family life really is and allow us to understand how family can be a communion of love, that there's a certain amount of austere or beauty to it. There's a certain simple beauty to it as well, where it's not showy. It's not like having Jordan sneakers or Levi jeans. It's about having just regular old Walmart knockoffs. And it's about how sacred or holy or indissolvable these particular moments are of really being a part of family. The lesson of work comes into play, where Nazareth, the home of the carpenter's son, allows us to understand and really proclaim how redeeming human work really is. Even in service, in severe work, we are redeeming ourselves by placing us in the hand of the Almighty who went about doing work. And it's something that we can conclude and really see ourselves with the workers around the world holding up the great pattern of our brother, Jesus Christ, who is also our God, being an example of this period of time. But we should also remember the lesson that comes to us when Jesus goes to that temple. The only break of silence and hiddenness during the time from his infancy till he actually begins his ministry with the baptism. Because as 5:34 reminds us, the finding of Jesus in the temple is the only event that breaks the silence of the Gospels about the hidden years of Jesus. It is here that Jesus lets us catch a glimpse of the mystery of his total consecration to the ministry that flows from his divine sonship. Because it's there that he says, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's work?" Mary and Joseph did not understand these words, although they did accept them in faith. Mary herself kept all these things in her heart during these years in which Jesus remained hidden and in silence of ordinary life. Ordinary life. The getting up, the going to work, maybe having to feed a cow or milk one, or maybe a goat, maybe even slaughter an animal, hunt one to be able to have a meal, or knead bread into dough so that it can be cooked, helping his mother with the wash or the gathering in of the buckets of water. We don't know all that Jesus was doing during these periods of time. We may know something about it, learning the culture of the time, getting an understanding of what boys did different from girls. But certainly, during these hidden years of Jesus' life, he was very much like you and I, where we ourselves can take comfort in our everyday struggles, that they're not just petty struggles that God doesn't care about, that God really wants to know who we are, that he really experienced some level of functioning in society, some level of understanding the struggle to make ends meet, to be more than an individual that lives paycheck to paycheck. These are the things that are found in the hidden life of Christ. And when we find ourselves in these, when we find Christ in our moments of life, that's when we truly do begin to link up with him as a branch on the vine and truly experience the grace that comes into our lives from a God who had moments of quietness, loneliness, fellowship, where he was a part of a community, when he was one of us, who walked among us as the Word made flesh, so that we too might one day walk with him on streets of gold, eternally blessed.